Hey, what's going on, Cinema Attackers? Welcome to episode 45 of Cinema Attack. I am the host with the most, the Boston Brando. And as always, I have my two co-hosts with me by my side. First up, we have the man, the myth, the legend, the editor supreme, Dubby Doubles. What's going on, Dub?
What is up?
You know what's going on, man. It's been a long time in the coming. We're getting spooky. Hell yeah. And as always, we have the creature feature teacher, Matt.
What's up, brothers?
What's up? It's time to get spooky.
October.
Yeah.
Tim Burton on.
Tim Burton on, yo. Tim motherfucking Burton. That's right. A little bit more of that. So, how was your guys, since the last time we recorded, we did that epic Hammer show with Snorri Man there?
Snorlax.
Yeah.
No, man, that was a fun show. Love me some Hammer, and it's kind of funny how we'll probably even reference back to some Hammer tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some Universal, too.
Some Tokyo, too.
And that, too. A whole bunch of shit.
You know, there's a lot of references in the last movie there, but, yeah, you know, it's been fun, you know, and, you know, like I promised, we're going to try to get two shows out for you guys this week, month, both horror-related, and, you know, well, this one's kind of a unique one in that way, but, you know, first off, I want to say, you know, oh, 31 Days of Horror is going. I actually wasn't going to do it at first this year.
Uh-oh.
You know, it was just like kind of burnt out, and like I took forever to, you know, everyone else already pre-recorded their reviews and shit, and I'm like, I had like 4 days before, and you know what, I'm going to fucking do it. So I've been like a day ahead. You know, this is a little secrets of the YouTube trade. I actually don't record my reviews on the actual day that they post, but, you know, it's been good that way. Maybe next tomorrow I'm actually going to do a few here and there, because I have actually busy in the next few weeks, so I got to try to get a few ahead of, like, the 15th and the 16th, because, you know, and I'll be moving myself, because I'm actually getting a bigger room, so a lot of moving coming up again, but at least it's not to another house. It's actually, you know, to another room. Well, we have to move the stuff out of the room first, because my sister got her own place. So I get the bigger room now, so that means,
yeah, they're going to move you in sub-basement plot B. And while you're down there, yeah, can you take care of the roach problem?
I hope there's no roaches here. I haven't seen any, knock on wood. But, yeah, there's no basement either where we live, man. But
I was saying stuff from Office Space.
Oh, stapler. That's all I remember from Office Space. Oh,
have you seen my stapler? See, I can keep the radio at a reasonable level between 9 to 5, and then they moved me to another window and they saw the squirrels, and the squirrels were merry, but then they said I can keep the radio at a reasonable hour.
Oh, so fun.
I've seen Office Space too many times.
Yeah, we need a Mike Judge show.
A Mike Judge show for sure. So we just think of shows when we do other shows. It's just the way of the world. You know,
the only time we get inspired to think of shows is when we're live on the air.
And then we're like you should see our chat sometimes, guys. It's like, so what are we gonna do?
Let's do this one. How about this? No, let's do that one.
And then, you know, then later on they're like, let's just do that show now, like on actual recording.
Yeah, it's not like we don't have 50,000 ideas out there of shows we can do. It's just we got to figure out, you know, for sure which one we're going to do first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure we have all the films or can get them out to everybody.
Yeah. We're pirates, life to be. Speaking of pirates, I was telling the guys off here.
It's sharing, man.
You know. It's sharing. It's the secrets of podcasting.
Yeah. Sharing is caring in podcast.
One of us owns it at least, so.
You know, I don't give a fuck, because I even ratted us all out on 22 shots in the 91 shot. But like, I don't have all these movies. Dave, rip them for me now. Speaking of pirates, you know, it's I just telling the guys off here, I was watching Jolly Roger, you'll be seeing that video. Well, it'll definitely be up by the time this is out. So, yeah, 31 Days of Horror. Trying to get some 2005 watches in there, to get a little head start. And, The Cavern, fucking terrible movie. I fucking hated that movie with a passion.
That's the Cavern?
I've
seen that. It's like a rip-off Descent, kind of.
It's weird because there's three movies that came out the same year were like the same plot: The Descent, The Cave, and The Cavern.
I might be thinking.
Oh yeah, The Cavern was one where the girls went down. It was actually I think I remember seeing that one. It's very low budget.
Yeah, and the ending just.
It's like, now what it is. You're like, oh really? That's what they're doing? Yeah, I had that one. I was not happy with that one.
Yeah, you should watch my Day 2 review if you want to know my thoughts on that movie. I say like 50 F-bombs throughout it.
Really? You say the F-bomb? No.
I say that word all the time. Like, fuck this, fuck that movie, fuck that,
What are your favorite words?
Hey, like I always say, I was raised off Dennis Leary's stand-up.
There you go.
The famous Dennis Leary quotes like, people always complain about their lives and stuff, and, they just don't go to Dr. fucking Dennis Leary. Doctor, I have a problem. My husband, shut the fuck up next. Doctor, I need, shut the fuck up next. And then he does an interpretation of one of his patients. He made me feel very good about myself. He told me to shut the fuck up, and no one ever told me that before. he's fucking great. I love Dennis Leary. No Cure for Cancer. That's a great stand-up special. It's one of my favorites. I've
seen that one.
All the time. It's great. And
I'm an asshole.
Oh, yeah. That's so great. That song. He's a big fucking asshole. And I even like Lock and Load, too. That one's fun, too. Dennis Leary is underrated. Actor and comedian, in my opinion.
I was going to say, especially as an actor, man, he's actually pretty versatile.
He's the best part of those Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies.
And that's what's... It's kind of like Robin Williams, man. Underrated as an actor. Really fucking good actor.
Yeah. Like, 1 hour photo, like, no one ever talks about that movie.
Insomnia.
Insomnia. I am Robin Williams. I'm Al Pacino. Yeah, I'm after you,
It's foggy out here.
I can't sleep,
The sun gonna go down?
Hoorah! Hoorah! It's the sun! Oh, I love the scene where he's just trying to tape up the window. Fucking window! Hoorah! We gotta cover that one day.
That's a good movie, though.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of bad impressions that I review, though.
It's all right.
It's always fun. What's your October looking for like so far this month, guys? Any plans? Anything good?
Matt, you want to go first?
Oh boy. Pretty much work. Not much else to do because I don't think there's any trick-or-treating, so can't hand out candy. But I did get invited to a Halloween party, so we might be going to that. Everyone has to dress up in costume, which is fine by me. But not much else planned for October. Just, I don't know, maybe we might find like a haunted house to go to if they have it or something just to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I know I usually do the Knoxville Horror Fest, and I'm looking to do that this year. Luckily, they're still going to have it, but they moved it to a drive-in. So they're going to do Demons, Return of the Living Dead, Pieces.
Nice.
Wahlburgers, go.
I think there's another one. But yeah, so that should be a good show. Yeah, Wahlburgers. No Wahlburgers will be playing, but...
That's all I could think about whenever I watch Peaches now is that commentary you did when you guys were doing the bad Mark Wahlberg impersonations.
That was great.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And that thumbnail.
James Coux is epic, because he actually sent me a serious one at first. He's like, I was going to use this one as a joke, but I didn't know if you wanted to use it. I saw it, and I'm like, I'm fucking using that.
Dude, I do want to shout out James, man. He fucking kills it with the thumbnails, seriously.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I mean, we got to shout out that guy as much as we can. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is, you know, and, you know, I'm going to be pestering for the epic thumbnail for this show soon.
That new logo, man. Digging that.
Digging it. It pops out, especially on the new feed.
I want that t-shirt, man. I'd rock it.
Yeah, it's a work in progress, man. Let's try to get a new audience and get everyone to subscribe to the... Well, I actually got to add a lot of the show still. I've been lazy, I'll be honest, but... You know, it's just tough because I actually got... It's a lot of work in progress. You got to download the audio files, get the DOCs, docs. It's like...
It's a reset button, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but that should be happening soon. Phil told me to send like 10 at a time for him to add. So I'll do that because I think that's all that the folder could actually hold or something.
Nice.
Yeah. At least we don't have that many shows. It's not like if it's like 22 shots went and they had to add like 10 every fucking 5 minutes.
Oof.
Because they're like at over 200 now, I think. Oh, almost 200.
Right up. Well, we're coming on a milestone here soon.
Yes, we are. Episode 50. It's going to be an interesting episode. We still... Not really sure what we're going to do, but we'll think of something soon. We got 5 episodes to think about it. But it should be epic awesomeness there, you know. But, you know, my Halloween, because actually, ironically enough, Halloween's actually on a Saturday this year.
Yeah, it falls on my weekend off, so I'm stoked.
On a full moon.
Yes.
Ooh, that would be a good idea. But yeah, whatever. I'm thinking of a werewolf show. But yeah, it's going to be quiet. Probably just going to be watching horror movies like I usually do on Halloween anyways, which I've been doing every day.
Our lives.
You know. but, you know, I'm actually back into a podcast, and most of my shows have recorded new episodes. Celluloid Dissections, though, will be back in November. There's some personal matters that are entwined to make that show happen. But, you know, some people need, you know, some time apart. But, you know, it happens. And, you know, we're still – everything's fine. It's just that show is just taking a little break to recruit from – doing gigantic epic shows, you know, it happens with that, but it's gonna be interesting, the aspect of, you know, trying to figure out where I'm gonna be going in the future. You know, it's just thinking about it, you know, it's scary, you know, just thinking about going to work every day still, and like thinking about, oh yeah, all I want to do is go home. Like yesterday at work was terrible. I had like epic amount of freight come in, 4,000 pieces just for paint. I didn't get out till 6:30. It was nuts, insane.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I doing this? You know, it's like one of those days. Like, why couldn't it just be a nice, easy last day of work?
Never is.
Yeah, no. Man.
It happens. It happens. But, you know, at least I get to do this. I enjoy doing this a lot. This is the way I look at it. I get to do this on the weekends and early weekdays sometimes just to hang out with the people I like a lot.
That's what I'm saying, man.
And then say that Freddy's Dead is fucking terrible every day. Because it is. I had to throw that one in there. Oh, yeah.
At least it's better than the remake.
Yeah.
I actually think Pretty Dead is worse than the remake.
Oh, no.
No, that remake, man.
That remake was awful.
It's been a while, but yeah. I don't know. I didn't... I might be weird. I don't know. It's weird. I've seen worse... Well, you should hear... Oh, I have controversial things about remakes all day anyways. Oh, yeah, but... Enough about that. That's for...
Remake show.
Oh, are you going to try to hang me after?
Uh-oh.
Do a worst of list.
Oh... You know, we should do that sometime. You know, instead of doing, like, worst movies we like, that's a Dylan pick that we have to do someday, which yeah. I'm still trying to think, like, what's a movie that people think is bad that I like?
Yeah, it's like half guilty pleasure, half really bad, I guess.
Well, let's just say the show is over if any of you guys pick Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, I will not be picking that, so.
Nope.
We should Patreon that to 22 Shots. You can do that. Do that now, listeners. You can join 22 Shots Patreon and Patreon a review of Battlefield Earth. It has horror elements. John DeVolta's laugh is scary enough in that movie.
It's so far.
Yeah, they had Deliverance on their top 10. They'll review it. Well, I'm doing bad fucking jokes today. But anyways, guys, enough of my blabbering and making bad puns. What are we here for? We're doing...
Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. You know, he's directed at least two of these movies, I know that. But they all have his visual stamp on them, for sure. Tim Burton, kind of one of my favorite directors of that time period. I always liked a lot of his stuff. Of course, he was one of the first directors to bring Batman to the big screen, not Adam West style, but
his old style.
Still, yeah. My favorite Batmans, man.
Yeah, and he has a weird sense of humor, Beetlejuice, that numerous movies that, and then there was at that time period, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna direct a Planet of the Apes movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that movie was so bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
But it's still
he does have some stinkers under his belt, but I think overall he's still damn successful and a really good director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really depends on. You know, he has a little spurts in his career where he does a movie where it's oh yeah, that sucked. But then he does a movie after that's oh, that was kind of cool and good. And then there's
Big Fish. That's an underrated one.
Yeah, Big Fish is one that no one ever talks about, and it's weird because people are like, wait, Tim Burton directed that? They're like, yeah, don't you see Danny DeVito in this movie? Of course Tim Burton directed this. I still haven't seen Dumbo yet. I've been hearing a lot of mixed things about Dumbo.
Is that the live action one?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen that one either.
I know some people that liked it and some people that hated it. So.
Yeah, that trailer kind of scared me, but I was like, eh. But who knows?
You never know. And it, when Tim Burton, before he was a big director, he did a lot of short films and short animated films. One of his heroes was Vincent Price, so he made the short film Vincent, which you guys own. Nightmare Before Christmas is actually a special feature on the release. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And of course, the other short that's on, I think, two of the releases I have of two of the movies actually has the other short on that's actually an extension of that short.
So it's a short of a short?
Well, no, they made the... no, they made one of the movies we're going to be talking about later is an extension of a short film, a live action short film that he did in the 80s.
Frank and Weenies.
Yeah. Which is going to be a cool discussion in its own right, but you know, the first film of the night, well, it's a holiday classic. For either two holidays, you could watch this movie on, which is weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we're going to take a little break, play the trailer, and we're going to be back with me again. I'm actually taking the lead on the first review, giving W a little break.
It's always me.
I'm always the last guy. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. But, no, you know, we're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking about a big movie from 1993 known as The Nightmare Before Christmas. So we'll be back right after this, guys.
Welcome to an extraordinary world filled with magic and wonder. Open your mind and let yourself go to a place where every day is Halloween and every night Jack Skellington.
I am the Pumpkin King!
Dreams of something different.
What is this?
It's someplace new.
Jack, look out!
Whoa!
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What is this?
Haven't you heard of peace on earth and goodwill toward men?
Touchstone Pictures presents the enchanting story of two very special dreamers and the holiday spirit that brought them together. From the imagination of Tim Burton comes The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And what did Santa bring you, honey?
And we are back, everybody, and the first review of the night, of course, is Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, produced and written by Tim Burton. He actually did not direct this film, which a lot of people, like I know a lot of the trivia questions people get asked, who directed The Nightmare Before Christmas? And of course they say, Tim Burton. The director of this film is Henry Selick, who also directed James and the Giant Peach, one of my favorite Roald Dahl adaptations ever. And he also did Coraline, which
I can see that.
Yeah, so he has his own unique style of, but you know, a lot of the creations and people characters were created by Burton, you know, so it still has his stamp and feel to the movie. And, you know, it also helps when you have Danny Elfman throughout all these movies.
Yeah.
Of course, this actually has a very interesting voice cast for this movie. As Jack Skellington, talking voice, Academy Award nominee Chris Sarandon, who we talked about before.
That's my dude.
You know, he does the talking voice of Jack, but Danny Elfman himself is the actual singing voice.
Which I don't know if I've ever heard him sing before this.
Really?
To be honest. I mean, not open. I'm sure I have, but I just this is the first time I actually recognized that he actually did singing too.
You know he was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo, right?
See, that's cool.
Band party.
I did not know that.
Weird science.
That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah. A little fact of Danny Elfman, of course, was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo, the 80s band, of course, and then went into being a composer and doing music. Tim Burton's really the guy who brought him into that composing light, you know what I mean?
He was a big Oingo Boingo fan.
Definitely, I can see that for sure. You know, and you know, you got Catherine O'Hara as Sally, and, you know, she also plays one of the little trick-or-treaters there, Shock the Witch. Kidnap to Santa Claus, la 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 la. You know, and she does all her own, I believe she does her singing. I could be mistaken, but I believe she also does the singing, which would make sense because Catherine O'Hara actually does a lot of great singing. If you ever seen The Mighty Wind.
Yeah. And yeah. I think she actually started Broadway, didn't she?
Yeah. One of those Canadian girls there.
And she's been in a lot of stuff.
Home Alone, Beetlejuice, yeah. You know, to name a few. Most of the Christopher Guest movies. William Hickey, the puppet master himself, as the evil scientist. And Paul Rubens as Locke. Another one of the... Yeah. A little callback because Tim Burton's first film was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You know, so yeah, you know, we're following this guy Jack. He's down on his luck. He's getting kind of sick of. He's getting sick of Halloween. That's what it seems like in the beginning, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and he's like, oh, he's like, I don't want to be the Pumpkin King anymore. I want to do something different and try to do something different for once. And he discovers this fucking like. Passageway to like all these different worlds, and he enters the Christmas tree one, and he goes to Christmas Town, aka the North Pole. You know, and he's like, "What's this? What's this? It's magic everywhere." You know, he's just spellblind to what he sees, and he's like, "It's so much different than what he's used to: snow and happiness and joy colors instead of the dark dread of like Halloween Town," and. He's like, he goes back and he's like, you know, I want to make Christmas for us, and, you know. So, W, what's your history with this movie, man? You know,
I mean, this is one. I'm a '90s kid, so I grew up on Lion King, Toy Story. That was all in my wheelhouse, and this was one. One of my early memories, man, was watching this film and. I really hadn't watched it in a long time, so it's cool to revisit. But classic, man. It's I think something that's just cool that adds to the holiday vibe of this one is the fact it's claymation. Because I always think back to Rudolph and all those classic claymation films. So that was always kind of a cool callback. But he did definitely took it his own direction, his own art design, and it's a cult classic, and it has such a crazy following, man. Classic film.
Yeah, I could agree more, man. Matt, what do you always think about this? Did you see this when it first came out?
No, I didn't. Actually, I'm trying to remember, because this came out, what, 90, what?
Three.
Yeah. So I was in junior high, so no, I did not see it in the theater. But I remember renting it on VHS with a bunch of people, and we're like, dude, let's check this out. And at first, we're not big musical fans, so we're running. It's like, oh, there's a lot of singing. So we're kind of like turning ourselves off at first. But after watching it, we're like, fuck, this movie's twisted. This is pretty cool. This is a kids' movie. This is nuts. And it just grown on us, and we enjoyed it even more.
Yeah, which is weird because at least two of these. Movies have musical numbers. We get into the other one later. You know, and that's just Danny Elfman's like, I want to sing. Let me sing. You know, and, you know, let me write lyrics to songs and stuff. And, you know, it works well with the characters. I like the dynamics of the stop motion with the musical numbers, especially Oogie Boogie's number later on. He's the coolest, like, with the way that character moves. Yeah, the way
he's moves. He's my favorite character, for sure.
Yeah, but I get you with the music, because, you know, this is weird to admit this. I actually grew up with a bunch of women, and I had to watch musicals for years. Mm-hmm. I end up liking them, though. I like a lot of the ones I have seen. You know, there's some that I'm like, okay, this one's not for me, but, you know, I like a few musicals. You know, I'm man enough to admit that, you know.
Yeah.
I did a whole musical show on, like, the fourth episode of this fucking show before with Brandon and Charlie, and, you know.
And if you remember, I came back and thought of like 10 more that I actually did like. So it's like, I say I don't like musicals, but I can name like 15 that I do like. So it's like, it just really depends on the context and how they use the music, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's just weird sometimes, like, they just don't, you know, when I can see like on a live action one too, where they just break out in song, you know, it's like, why are they just singing now? You know, it's like weird the first time you ever seen one like that.
But the music's very catchy too with this. When you're watching it, it clicks because you're seeing all this weird shit that too has happening on the screen. You're like, it matches. They're setting heads on fire. They're dancing with cadavers. They're kidnapping Santa. They're doing all this weird shit. And you're like, this is pretty cool. Actually, the music's starting to work versus like a normal musical movie. So they're just dancing and singing, where you actually got more shit to look at, which is pretty badass.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's pretty cool. And it gets right into the havoc, too. You know, like when Jax is giving shrunken heads his Christmas gifts.
When kids open up the present, what'd you get? Kid pulls out a shrunken head.
You're like, what the hell? Why not? You know, killer reefs and shit. Matt's like, you know, he loves his Killer Planet movies. So he's like, yes.
Damn right.
You know, it's great. And, you know, killer toys. And, you know, and Jack's like, everyone's loving it because he doesn't know. Like, he doesn't know. The Halloween Town does not get Christmas. They're like, they want to cause terror still, you know. what are some of your favorite characters, Dub? Like, so the townspeople of Halloween Town.
I mean, I already said Oogie Boogie. That's my dude. But, I mean, I even love down to... What's his spot? His little dog, man. Is
Zero. Like,
Zero.
Yeah. Little ghost dog.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. But I just love all the different looks and of the townsfolk. I mean, you just have such a array from witches to little skeleton people, fucking worm people. It's crazy how creative in the background of just these side characters you really don't even really meet in the film, you know what I mean? He's like a Jim Henson on acid.
For sure. Matt, what about you, man? I know you must have been a fan of the snake dude that with the snake here, fingers and the spider here.
Oh, of course. I also like the wolfman. I like the way he looked. I like the mayor, how he goes from like this happy face, his head spins around to this like asshole type mean face. And of course, Oogie Boogie's up there as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the thing I like the most about this movie is Sally. Sally's a great character. I like how she sees like these prophecies and stuff, and she's actually trying to warn Jack because
down she to saves the day, really. Yeah,
yeah. It's down to the nitty gritty. She's in love with Jack. She's just very shy because of. Well, she's being held captive by the guy who created her with his giant brain.
Mm-hmm. He's like a wheelchair.
Finkelstein.
Brain keeps falling out.
He gives half the brain to his new girl. Come on, honey.
Is he the same voice from that old actor? Oh, what's his face? Remember in... The Griswolds, the Christmas, the father.
Yeah, that's William Hickey.
The blessing, that guy.
That's him, yeah, that's William Hickey.
I thought so.
Yeah, he's the original puppet master, yo.
Yep.
Andre Toulon, the OG. Even though that movie kind of sucks.
Which one?
The first puppet master.
It's not bad.
The most iconic characters, though, side characters, I think is Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Oh, yeah, the three kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kid, not the Santa
Claus. They always screw up.
like Jack's like, don't send him to Oogie Boogie. Don't get him involved. And they're like, let's send him to Oogie Boogie.
Three little wannabes.
They're so terrorists. They kidnapped the Easter Bunny. That was hilarious. and, you know, Santa's like, what the hell is going on? He just gets thrown down this little hole and Oogie Boogie torches him. His lair is so cool, especially in the final confrontation where he's just facing Jack off and you see like all these contraptions going off. Like he has like.
He said face. Jack off.
Yeah. But I love how the whole gambling vibe plays into his whole
character. Aesthetic.
And like you said, yeah. And it just playing in the whole New Orleans fucking, you know, shady voodoo vibe. Too, like I love his character overall, and he's got the favorite musical numbers for me as well.
Yeah, they're very jazzmatazz, like yeah. Very New Orleans, like southern. Even his voice is very like bass heavy, like hello there.
Yeah, it's like I put a spell on you, kind of shit. You know, like I like that vibe, and it just fits Halloween all the way.
Yeah. It's so good, and you know, I like how, like, when it turns the, like, you know, the Technicolor, like, neon lights, and he's, like, lit up green, but then it shuts off, he's, like, normal, like, brown. It's fucking cool. But, you know, you have, like, saws going off, and, like, he has, like, these, like, little 10-man shit stick shooters fucking shooting at Jack, and, like, even, like, his whole, like, leer is, like, a giant roulette wheel. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, and he has the playing cards of the actual swords coming out of him. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And here's the dice, the iconic dice. Snake Eyes! And then, of course, because he's just a bag full of bugs, you're never going to last, because if you get your string stuck, you're done.
Just unwinds.
Yeah, I love that reveal, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. And, you know, the whole ending senior is Santa saves the day, and you know, starts snowing in Halloween Town, and the greatest song ever starts up again. What's this? It's happening again. I don't know what this is. And you know, Jack and Sally have their final moment, and it's so nice and cute, and that's how the movie ends. And very influential movie, you know, even JP's favorite band, Blink-182, like did that song Miss You. Hello there, welcome to my nightmare. We could hang with Jack and Sally, have Halloween on Christmas. You know?
Yeah, it's fucking cool.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of artwork. You know, my sister loves this movie. Everybody sees this movie for the first time ends up loving this movie.
Yeah.
It's just a timeless classic.
It really is, man. And what it did for just visual effects in general and animation. It took it to a whole nother level, man.
For sure. You know, especially, you know, when we look at the other films and you see, like, how it evolves.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about all three of these movies we picked, they all have, like, a side dog character.
That's true.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Man and his dog, man. Classic. Timeless.
Timeless need, you know. It's a boy and his dog. Oh, wait, that's a totally different movie, but you know, but yeah, you know, it's pretty, you know, the story we talk about more, we've pretty much told everything that happens in the movie. It's only runs, the good thing about this is too, it's not too long too. It runs at like 1 hour and 16 minutes, just gets right into it and doesn't overstay its welcome too.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. You know, I'm sure played a fact in just how hard this movie was to make, too, man. I'm sure a lot of time and effort was put into making this with the stop motion and the claymation stuff.
Yeah, it definitely has a process of sometimes how length and how scenes flow and stuff, especially. It's just great and timeless, and you see, like, the evolution of it through his other two movies that he did later on in this style. You know?
Yeah. It is the beginning of the evolution, man.
For sure. Now, I think it's come to that time, fellas. Matt, what do you give Nightmare Before Christmas, yo?
It's definitely a classic. It's got a huge cult following. I even picked up that the CD. Nightmare Revisited. It's all the different songs that they did. And the soundtrack's fantastic. Out of a possible 10, I'd probably give this one a 8.5 out of 10. I had a lot of fun with it.
Nice. Dubby.
Yeah, man. Like I said, this one was a nice revisit for me, just being a 90s kid. This was a big film for me. And I just think it's a cool fucking marriage of, I mean, two seasons, kind of a dark and light. It's almost like a cool yin-yang thing that it does in a way, too. It marries, it shows that there can be happiness in both seasons and whatever, you know what I mean? But, like I said, I'm not a big fan of musicals overall, but the music works for this film. It flows nicely. I'm going like 9.5 out of 10, man. This is damn near perfection to me. It's a classic film.
Cool.
I am also a 9.5 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, I always enjoyed this film. You know, it's one of my favorites growing up. It's definitely up there for one of the... But then I saw another movie later on in life, which kind of hit my heart. And we might be talking about that later. Gotcha. So that was Nightmare Before Christmas. Great movie. Awesome stuff there. Next up, you know, we'll be right back. And Dubby going second this time, buddy.
Yes, sir.
So we'll be right back with to the trailer for The Corpse Bride. Be right back.
What if Victor and I don't like each other?
As if that has anything to do with marriage.
They were due to be married, though they'd never before met. His parents were thrilled. Hers were filled with regret. But in a moment of panic, Victor desperately fled. And by a grave misunderstanding, married the corpse bride instead.
You may kiss the bride.
He was frightening, but beautiful, and would never be false.
Who is she? I'm his wife.
All that she lacked was the beat of a pulse.
Maggots.
From Tim Burton, creator of The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Why go up there when people are dying to get down here?
Comes a tale of wit, charm, and strife.
I'm not dead.
About a timid young man.
Victoria!
And the love of his life.
Sound creepy.
Can a heart still break once it's stopped beating?
A tragic tale of romance, passion.
I feel the same.
And a murder most foul.
He's married to a corpse.
What a cutie.
You should have seen him with fur.
Tim Burton's Corpse Bride.
This is gonna be good.
What is up, y'all? We are back. Second movie of the night from 2005 from the man Tim Burton, as we know. Corpse Bride. You know, pretty stellar cast. I think a lot more bigger names in this one. As far as contemporary, you've got Johnny Depp playing your main lead, Victor. Helena Bonham Carter, which is Tim Burton's wife, actually playing the corpse bride. Who else we got? We got Emily Watson in this. Christopher Lee is the man in this. Deep Roy, definitely funny little person. I don't know if you guys have seen him in other stuff. Eastbound and Down, especially.
Matt met Deep Roy.
I did get to meet Deep Roy at a convention.
He is fucking amazing, man. He cracks me up.
Yeah, he is. He's funny.
Yeah.
I had a stiff neck just staring down at him all the time talking to him. then my knee started to hurt.
That is great. But, yeah, so basically the film follows Victor, who he's kind of a shy guy. And he's a groom, and he's just wandering out on a graveyard and practicing his wedding vows. And little does he know, a deceased young woman rises from the grave and basically accepts his hand in marriage. So it basically proceeds from there. But yeah, this one was cool. Cool revisit as well for me. I haven't seen this probably since it came out, to be honest. But it was cool to see the Victorian style. I think there is a little Hammer gothic horror influence in this one for sure. What's your guys' initial thoughts or on this viewing anyway?
I haven't seen this since it came out. You know, I actually had the DVD of this a while ago. You know, since I actually picked this up at my job when I used to work at CVS. It was like, oh yeah, $20 pickup, yay. You know, that's when DVDs are still $20. That's how crazy it was back. It was 15 years ago. You know, I like this movie a lot. You know, it does have that gothic overtone to it, which I like. I like the colors, how it pops. I love how the dead people are blue when they're dead.
Yeah.
I love how Johnny Depp's character is like a pale white dude. You know, Albert Finney as the chick's father, hilarious. Rawr, when he tries to smile. Hello. You know, Christopher Lee as the pastor, hilarious. The guy who steals the show from me, though, is Richard E. Grant as Brackus Britton, because he just always played a snobby character.
Yeah.
He's great in this. It's a great movie. Great, some funny moments in it. Funny characters in the dead world. You know, you got, legendary Michael Goes in this movie, too. Speaking of Hammer. You know.
Nice.
You know, he plays the old skeleton with the beard and the cracked skull. Like, oh, how are you? That can't happen, you know. It's fucking great. And look, Alfred's a skeleton. It's just a fun movie, and you know, like the last movie, it just breezes by because it's just like almost the same length. And I like this one a lot too.
I do like how this adds in more of a humanized aspect. There is still cool creatures and different little effects and. You know, Tim Burton signature stuff that we kind of got from Nightmare that I think carried over this. So it's almost like a spiritual sequel in a way to Nightmare to me, but, you know, added with a Hammer twist in the real world.
For sure.
The first time I saw this movie was on a bus ride from, like, I think it was a Salem trip a couple years ago, actually. Maybe 4 years ago, I think it was. And I was hooked just watching it. Like, everyone else was talking, and I put my headphones on and just stared at the little TV on the bus and just watched the whole entire thing. I was glued. It was so much fun. My wife keeps nudging me. I'm like, shh, there's a good part, I think. Hold on. Yep, there's a good part. Go to sleep. I want to watch the movie. I was like, what are you watching? I go, Corpse Bride. I always wanted to watch it. Never got a chance to. I think it was a couple years ago. I was at a Dollar General, and there it was sitting there for $4 for a Blu-ray. I'm like, yoink, picking it up.
Nice.
Yoink.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. So, you know, I like the whole idea, like the Corpse Bride herself, as we find out her name is Emily later in the movie. She's a tragic character. You know what this movie kind of reminded me watching it?
What's that?
Crimson Peak.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
You know, with the aspect of, like, the ghosts actually being, or the dead being actually the
or tragic the haunting, stuff like that. I'm sure he pulled the influence from that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the Crimson Peak came after this, of course, so that's kind of what it had vibes from it, because we just watched it recently. You know, for that, you know, it has because
it definitely had the Victorian and Hammer vibe, too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I like that aspect of Emily's character. You know, she's a cool, tragic character. You know, she's not like a walking... Even, like, most of the dead people in this movie are not bad people. You know, later on when they're trying to attack... They're not attacking the living. they're trying to find their live and loved ones still, and I think that's so cute for this type of movie. You know?
Yeah.
To come with them to this wedding.
And that was another comparison where I really brought back to Nightmare, because I always thought her character kind of reminded me of Sally, but, you know, they're again in a different realm.
She does definitely look like Sally a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a blue-haired version of Sally. She has a similar look.
With a bony arm.
Just kept falling apart on him.
Yeah.
I did like how this had less musical numbers, though. Like I said, I said off the air, that was probably the thing that kept me from giving Nightmare a 10. I just wish there was probably one or two less musical numbers. This one flowed and had a more general feel of just a straightforward story.
Yeah, you know, Danny Elfman, of course, plays Bone Jangles in this, and his song, though.
Yeah, which is
Libertarian cool. Libertarian about the course, right? Doo-doo.
You know, so. Bone Jangles, man. He gets to play all the good characters, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets to play all the lively ones with the voices, yo. You know, I love the Peter Lorre worm.
That was cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what's cool, man. In this film and the next, you can definitely see a lot of his just little callbacks and subtle nods to classic horror stuff that I loved.
Yeah, it's so good, you know. I love that Victor's mom's fat and she's like complaining early in the movie, like she couldn't get inside the carriage. That's the word I was looking for, carriage. I got it, Derek, got it. I did that in one of my reviews recently too. Like, I was like doing like a. I was thinking of automaton, and I was like ottoman. No, automaton. You know, I wasn't thinking the thing you lay your feet on. You know, but it's fucking so funny. You know, Tracy Ullman is the mom, Victor's mom.
Yeah.
Paul Whitehouse is his dad too. He will be back soon. I love Albert Finney steals the show too. Get me musket.
Yeah.
He just feels annoyed about the whole situation as you want to be there. It's fucking great. It's just a fun
Finnis, man. He's like a big toad. It's like
that's what he looks like, Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
And I love all his ancestors look exactly like him.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're like clones.
Yeah, what would my great-grandfather in this say? Finish. Where is the fine wine? Oh! His ancestor comes out of nowhere.
I like the bar scene when you had the roaches just serving all the drinks.
Oh, that was funny. The waiter with the, is this a head?
Yeah.
Yep.
And later in the film, he's trying to get a better eye view, and somebody just puts him on his shoulder.
it's so good. You know, I love all those party dinner scenes, too. It's great. It's just a great movie. And, you know, the whole climax, too, where Victor and Brackus are fighting, and, you know, then this reveal that Brackus was Emily's lost love that killed her, left her for dead, find out.
Yeah, that big fucking dick.
Such a dick.
And I mean, it's cool how it plays out as far as kind of a little love triangle aspect too, with the corpse bride and
Victoria. Yeah,
there's a lot of selflessness, and it's cool how that all plays out.
So cool. And you know, I'm trying to think of when this other movie came out that I seen called Levide. But the last shot of the movie kind of reminded me of that, which is Levi is the second film from the guys who did Inside.
Yeah, well, I heard about that movie. I never saw it.
It's hard to get here. You get like a UK Blu-ray or it's like a German one. It's all region, I think.
DVD release.
Yeah, there's a DVD too, in Blu-ray.
So you could probably answer this, Derek. You know all this shit. Like, so as far as the animation go, was this claymation or did they have some CG elements
mixed in there? It's claymation with like digital mix.
That's what I was thinking.
Make it more pop, you know. It's more,
but it's tasteful though, you know. It's like not overdone. Yeah, it has me questioning it, and I'm usually a good spotter of CG, man.
Well, you could just tell the difference of how it looks from the first movie to this movie, where it just seems more seamless in some of the way the characters move and just the way it looks, and even like the
mouths, the talking scenes, like
it just makes it a little bit more better looking. The way, like great effects artist Rob Bottin said, the best way to use CGI is to mix it with practical.
And it works for what it is.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely.
It worked. You know, I like that aspect of this movie, too, where, you know, it's not like, well, speaking of the Jolly Roger movie, there's this bad scene where this guy, because you know it's asylum effects, so you already know it's coming, where it's like, there's a head cut, and it's like, it looks like somebody did it on like an Adobe computer.
Oh, God.
Like, you know, the actual slice, bloop, it was like dying laughing, it just looked so bad. But, you know, you could tell bad effects from good effects, and, you know, the effects in this movie are good for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Great movie.
Yeah, man. So we want to get into numbers on this.
Sure.
All right.
Derek, lead us off, man.
Corpse Bride, Tim Burton classic. You know, he still has a co-director with him in this one. It doesn't get to like the next feature we're going to be talking about later, where, you know, it's going to be like, I'm going to just do this one on my own this time. I'm not going to have a guy direct it for me, you know, and shit. But this one, really great. I love the gothic atmosphere of this one. It's just a great movie. I love a lot of these animated movies, as you'll see. Sometimes it is hard to rate these because they are animated, because the visuals in this one are so great. And so if you love gothic settings, you know, this would be a good one to put in a marathon. It's great. I love it.
Hell yeah.
God bless you, Maddie.
Thank you.
Anyways, you know, great movie. I love it. I give it like a 9 out of 10. Really dig this one a lot.
Nice. Matt.
This one definitely goes up because, again, less of a musical and more of a story. And I had a great time with it. And I give this one a 9.5 out of 10. I thought the animation / claymation mixed with the digital worked superb. It definitely made it more creepier and darker, and the whole loving the dead versus loving the living, do you stick with the dead, all that kind of deal, really gives it a cool spin. And I like how Tim Burton reuses certain actors and he puts them in different other films, and seeing Johnny Depp play this character definitely works. His voice worked well with the main character, and I had a great time with it. So this one's a 9.5 out of 10 for me.
Nice.
You're up, Deb.
I'll finish it. I had to clear my throat. Sorry, guys. But
clear my throat.
Exactly. But yeah, man, Corpse Bride, like I said, it really took the Nightmare Before Christmas and took it into a new element and just to another level as far as the animation goes. Really seamless. I love the gothic feel to this one, man. It really just hits home and really has that Hammer vibe. It has that cool darkness to it. I mean, that's typical with these Tim Burton films we're talking about, man. I'm coming at a 9 on this one, man. I really enjoyed this one. I was going to say I had more fun with this one than Nightmare. I would consider Nightmare a better film, but this one I would consider more of just a fun watch.
Nice.
Did it make it?
Nope.
Ah.
Just short. All of them are making just short, man.
But we never know because we still have another movie to talk about.
Yeah.
And let's get right into it. We'll be right back after this, and Matt will lead us into 2012's reimagination of Frankenweenie. Be right back after this.
Sparky's a great dog, a great friend.
The best dog a kid could have.
When you lose someone you love, they never really leave you. He'll always beat in your heart.
I don't want him in my heart. I want him here with me.
The nervous system is just wires and cables.
Even after death, the muscles respond to electricity.
Sorry, boy.
Oh, Sparky! Huh? I can't believe it!
I can fix that.
I know.
Know what?
Your dog is alive!
You can't tell anyone. Promise?
Promise.
Victor brought an animal back. Life.
With lightning and boom and Something big is gonna happen.
Who is responsible for this?
I just wanted my dog back.
We can do better. Bigger.
Rise, Colossus, from your tomb.
Mr. Whiskers is trying to tell us something.
Did you get that out of the litter box?
Oh my.
I need your help.
I asked him first.
My problem bigger.
Yeah. He's right.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed the trailer for our next film, Frankenweenie from 2012. Pretty much when a boy's beloved dog passes away suddenly, he attempts to bring the animal back to life through a powerful science experiment. Sounds very familiar?
Yeah. Just
very
a little
similar
bit.
To fucking Frankenstein with all the names and everything on this. Let's go with Debbie. What are your thoughts on this, Fern?
I mean, as you touched on, I mean, it's an homage to Frankenstein, obviously, at its surface, but beautifully done, in my opinion. I just got to start off, like, early in the film, it already had the Edward Scissorhand vibe with that 60s clean-cut, perfect suburban town. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, Winona Ryder's character almost mirrors her character in Edward Scissorhands a little bit to me. But I love the aesthetic instantly. It took me back to those great 50s and 60s sci-fi horror films that I'm sure all three of us love. And it really took it to extreme and, of course, tied it in with the classic Frankenstein mythos.
Definitely.
Derek, I know you're a big dog lover. What did you think about this one?
I love this fucking movie so much. I legit, every time I watch this movie, I'm actually kind of tearing up right now. It's just those old inner sanctums of, because I actually, my first pet that I ever had actually got ran over too, so.
Aw.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that. Like, they really mm-hmm. can.
Because an animal is, like, when you have a pet, it's part of your family. A lot of people think, oh, it's just a dog. Oh, it's just a cat. Move on.
Right.
Well, for some people, it's not. It's actually a loved one. Yeah. And when you get that bond between your pet and you, you really feel strong for that animal. Yeah. You'll do anything for him or her. And I'm starting to get teared up here. It's like when they get when they go unexpectedly like that, it's a big hit to you. And that's what this movie does. It gives you that big hit right out the start. And then we get to the whole Frankenstein bit. Like, would you do this yourself? Meaning, if you found the science teacher is jolting a dead frog with electricity, in your mind, especially as this kid, you're thinking, I could do this back to my pet and bring my loved one back. And yeah, that's what they're throwing at you, which I thought was moving, because you're like, oh, and then all of a sudden, boom, wait a minute. And of course, the experiment works, and you're like, oh, let's get it nice. We got a nice little happy undead dog running around. This is great. And then we get to some other things.
Yeah. Let me continue a little bit.
Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
You know, I was actually a big fan of the original short that this is based on, too, which ran like half an hour. And it's pretty much just the Sparky stuff in the movie that we see, including the very end of the movie. But, you know, and it expands on it so well. And I love all the things that Tim Burton does with the characters. Like, I love that Martin Landau's character, the teacher, looks like Vincent Price.
Yes, mm-hmm. All the way.
his favorite, his idol. He made, yeah. And that's who Victor looked up to in his teacher. I love that aspect. He made himself Victor in this movie. I love that. I love that. Like, the Winona Ryder looks like Lydia from Beetlejuice right off the bat with the hair.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I love that whole aspect of it. And speaking of it, even the score reminds me of Edward Scissorhands, which is my favorite Tim Burton movie. And it pulls at the heartstrings with, like, the slow Danny Elfman hymns. And I love all the love letters. I love how, like, all his classmates are, like, one of them's Igor, one of them's Boris Karloff.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, one is an Asian kid who, well, we'll get into what he represents later. You know.
It's Nod City, though. That this movie does it better than any of the three we've seen tonight, like, for sure.
Yes.
And, you know, it's great. I love that Catherine O'Hara returns as his mom. And, you know, she actually plays three characters in this. She plays the weird girl. She plays the weird fucking girl with Mr. Whiskers.
Oh, that cat.
Oh, dude, I love that character, though. She's so awesome.
And she plays the gym teacher, too, you know. You know, and then Martin Short's in this. The legendary Martin Short plays the father, and he plays Mr. Burgermeister, the mayor of the town.
And he does the Boris Karloff impressions in this.
You know, it's great. It's fucking amazing.
I love Martin Short, man. He's the man.
You know, this is such a great movie, and I love it with passion. Like I said, like, I get teary-eyed at the end. I sent the picture in the chat of me after I watched this movie, and tears were coming down my eyes. Matt was there.
Yep.
Yeah, man, it definitely pulls on your heartstrings, and I even made it through Sparky getting hit initially, but it's like even the end still got me. I was like, damn it, I thought I was going to make it through this time, but I didn't.
Oh, it's so good. Like, I love all the shit that they add to this that expanded from the short film. Like, let's see if we get electricity done with Sparky. Let's see what it does with other animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the fun part of this movie, and it even throws back there again at the 60s and 50s vibe, these giant sci-fi creatures when you had the kaiju fucking turtle. That was awesome.
Who would have knew Tim Burton was a Gamera fan?
Yes, definitely.
You know, it's fucking great. There's a giant kaiju turtle. There's a werewolf rat creature. It looks kind of like the werewolf from Nightmare Before Christmas, actually.
Was it the sea monkeys kind of reminded me of Gremlins slash Creature of the Black Lagoon mixed together?
Yeah, for sure. They even had like a weakness to salt. It was great.
Yep. Yeah, the popcorn scenes of them were great.
Then you get a vampire cat bat?
Yeah.
Mr. Whiskers.
That scene where it transforms was the first time I saw that, I was like, whoa, what the fuck is going on?
And that's what I was going to say. This was probably the like most violent and darkest out of the three. Like, I'm not complaining. That was cool. But I'm just saying, like, it's pretty violent. It's impels and stuff.
One thing that I had to laugh at, though, Nasir's character was, like, hyping up his pet. Nasir, Colossus, rise. Yeah. The fucking hamster in a fucking dress as a mummy.
Yep.
Kill, Colossus, kill.
He gets all hyped up and this little turtle comes out. You're like, what? Okay.
He's like, my problem's a little bigger. Turtle come out, and he's like, yeah, he's right. Yep.
I like how they showed how it got big, too. Like, it's like, it shows, like, the Miracle-Gro on the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Oh, it's so good. And, you know, the whole climax of the movie is, like, you know, Victor and his friends is trying to stop this madness from happening. And, you know, you got the Dutch Day happening with the mayor, who kind of looks like my friend's uncle. That's who the mayor of this town reminds me of. You know, well, he's a Burgermeister, you know. Call back to the Universal stuff, you know. And the aspect of it, you know, like he's having Winona Ryder's thing with, like, a little Dutch hat with candles on it. And she's like, is this safe? The fire marshal's right here, and he looks like a dead corpse. You noticed that, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking great in that aspect. And, you know,
Van Helsing.
Yeah, it's so good.
That one girl's face was so fucking weird. The one that had the cat, the face was at a point, and when she just looked at you, she looked like a corpse in itself. Like, God, she's so weird looking. It's freaking me out.
She was scary. She was the scariest one for me. Like,
I just loved how the cat mirrored it too, with the fucked up eyes.
Yeah. That girl was, you know, that girl's weird. She's picking up cat, you know, for the fact that the cat didn't shit that out there. She moved it with her hands to make those letters.
That's what I'm saying. It's not even violent, but that's still kind of some dark shit for a kid's movie. Like, you have this kid getting prophecies from their cat turds. Like, what kind of shit?
What kind of shit is this?
This is supposed to be a children's movie here.
You know, and, you know, it goes all into that, like, you know, science against, like, you know, everyone's against the science teacher, and he's, like, screaming at them at that mean.
Yeah.
It's fucking great, and, you know.
You even have the angry mob with the windmill when they're chasing them.
Great. Yeah,
like this just has all the classics all mixed into one.
Mm-hmm. And then the ending happens, and, you know,
It's cool.
Such a good movie. I love this movie. I love it so much, guys.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's okay.
All right, let's get into some ratings. Well, Derek, let's see what your rating is. If I guess what it is.
Feeling.
It's 10 out of 10. This movie is fucking fantastic. I love it. It's the best of these three movies. Love it.
Debbie? Yeah.
Man, I did owe that, though. I really do. Like, I had the most fun with this one. Like I said, it pulls at your heartstrings as far as just the childhood story that everybody can relate to as far as losing your pet. But then adds in the Frankenstein mythos, which it really expands on, and then throws in these other creatures or other scenarios. The callbacks, man, there again, like, we even got actual live footage, which we didn't mention that scene. I love the scene when the parents are sitting there watching the original Dracula. Yeah, the original Christopher Lee Dracula, Prince of Darkness or whatever. And that's just such a cool scene. He's sneaking in his dead fucking pet, his loved pet. You know, it's like pet cemetery shit. It's kind of some dark situational stuff. I just can't believe, like, the dark places this goes for a child movie, and it does it so beautifully. 10 out of 10. Love this film.
Nice. Well, my turn. Yeah, this movie's fucking awesome, and I love how it's shot in black and white, where it's like, again, yeah, nod to
touch on that.
Yeah, it's all nod to the Universals, again, to the giant monster movies, which were all black and white back then. And this hits all that, and I love that how it's done. I don't think there's any color in the movie at all. Yeah, there isn't. So it's all shot black and white. It's got all that awesome animation going to it. It hits all the points. If you're a huge horror fan, you love all those types, you have to own this one because it nods so many. Yeah, it's a kid movie, but it's not really a kid's movie at the same time. Makes you cry, makes you excited. It makes you all giggity because it's like, oh my God, their names are all like Frankenstein. That guy looks like Igor and et cetera, et cetera. And you're like, damn, Van Helsing's in here. Again, yeah, the 10
Igor
out of 10.
Character's great.
Oh yeah, Igor is fucking
crazy.
We
didn't touch on that, but he's great.
Again, this is also a 10 out of 10 for me. Yeah, Edgar Igor was his name.
He says that your pet is alive.
And kind of how he blackmails him into letting him in.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It takes the Frankenstein mythology, but just really expands on it and puts it in a new world. Fucking, because everybody just does the same Frankenstein story, man. It's cool for an animated film to actually offer up a new take on it.
And his Asian friend's name is almost like Takashi, like Takashi Miike.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat.
Oh, so good.
So, yeah, well, this one made it.
Yeah. Play that fucking music. Play the Hall of Ironside, yo.
All right. We're going to do it the scanner way. I'm going to suck your brain dry. Everything you are is going to become me. You're going to be with me, Cameron, no matter what. After all, brothers should be close, don't you think?
Like a Frankenweenie, which is what a name, too. Frankenweenie.
Yeah. And that's what's crazy. Nightmare didn't make it, but Frankenweenie did. I did not see that coming. But I agree with it. Like, that's where I'm coming from.
That is a great progression. Movies.
That's true. It got better as it went.
It's fucking good. So good. Well, you know, that's it for the show, guys. It's fucking awesome that happened. I wasn't actually kind of expecting that. But I'm glad that the movie that hit me the most made it. So, we're going to be
doing... Hit all of us at the most.
I think so, too. You never know sometimes. That's a good thing about these shows sometimes, man. You never know.
Yeah, it's just a big surprise. Again, you think... Nightmare Before Christmas would, but nope. Frankenweenie.
It's not like we rated it bad either, you know. It's just, we still all said it was a classic. It's just the way we liked it the most, you know.
Right.
That's the one I would say is the best film or the most iconic film is Nightmare, but I just had a better time with the other two films. I mean, same. At the end of the day.
Yeah. It might have helped Nightmare for me because I did actually watch it in two sittings. I watched half of it before work and the rest after work, which is weird because it's only an hour and 16 minutes, but you know, but it's whatever. The next show we're doing is actually, we're doing three modern Halloween horror movies. I know my pick, I know Matt's pick. W, I think, is still on his pick.
It was Haunt.
Oh, you're picking Haunt. Okay. Haunt. And you are, Matt?
Bloodfest.
And I am picking a movie I actually reviewed before with Moods. It was actually a first-time watch for me that when I did that, but I'm doing Trick because I haven't watched that movie since that review. And I know it's a very mixed opinion film, and we're going to find out how we feel about it when we watch it. So... that'll be our next show, guys. I'll be out in a few weeks, probably the week before Halloween, something like that, I believe. But it'll be out because we're going to take Halloween week off because we're just going to have fun and chill. Because I think
that's right.
So enjoy the holiday.
Enjoy the holiday for once, you know. Fuck it. But anyways, guys, as always, check us out on the Dark Discussion Podcast Network. Thank you, Mr. Philip Perron, for hosting our show there. Brand new Cinema Attack up and running. Got some new shows coming out. And, Debbie, leave us up with something from one of the movies. We're going to be getting out of here because I got another show to prep for because I'm a podcast whore. Ba-bam. But anyways, guys, we'll see you soon. Peace out.
Later.
White things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys, and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones, I feel the warmth that's coming from inside. Oh, look, what's this? They're hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired! They're gathering around, hearing story, roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this? What's this? In here, they've got a little tree. How queer! And who would ever think? And why? They're covering it with tiny little things. They've got electric lights on strings, and there's a smile on everyone. So now correct me if I'm wrong. This looks like fun, this looks like fun. Oh, could it be? I got my wish. Oh my, what now? The children are asleep. But look, there's nothing underneath. No ghouls, no witches here to scream and scare them or ensnare them. Only little cozy things secure inside their dreamland. What's this? The monsters are all missing and the nightmares can't be found. And in their place there seems to be good feeling all around. Instead of screams, I swear I can hear music in the air. The smell of cakes and pies are absolutely everywhere. The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh I want it, oh I want it for my own. I've got to know what is the place that I have found. What is this?
Christmas Town?
Ho, 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 ho!